Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee, and on this week's show, we have Lauren Leduc. Lauren is a dedicated yoga teacher, spiritual life coach, and entrepreneur. She believes that yoga is beneficial to everyone and is passionate about creating accessible experiences and opportunities for students to find a deeper connection to themselves and the world around them. In 2022, Lauren graduated as a certified soul purpose and spiritual life coach from Dharma Coaching Institute. Her book, Embody Your Inner Goddess, A Guided Journey to Radical Wholeness, is a spiritual self-help book and feminist manifesto designed to activate you to shred your conditioning, embrace your inner divinity, and show up vulnerably and unapologetically in the world. It gives empowering spiritual truths while providing practical tools for you to heal, grow, and be fully expressed. Lauren, welcome to the Great Awakening Show, and thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for hosting me. And just to let you know, my 3-year-old is around today, so you might hear little bits of her too.
Don't worry, that's beautiful. No problem, no problem. So, Lauren, with your beautiful book, I just want to go on to just the first question because I think it's really important. Humanity, I believe that we are going through a great awakening, especially for women, bringing the divine feminine back into its balance, into its rightful position. So please explain what our inner goddess is and how we can awaken our inner goddess within. And then we'll have a look at your book in a little while.
Yeah. Well, I love this question. And I think you're so right that in my mind, this sacred feminine, the divine feminine, it's always been here, but we are opening our eyes to it or shifting our own personal frequencies to be able to feel her and work with her, right? So she's always been here. She's just been waiting for us to see her, I think, for the last couple of thousand years. And to me, our inner goddess is this sort of personification of our own sacred feminine. So each of us has, no matter our gender, each of us has masculine and feminine within, due to the masculine being very pronounced in our culture and in our world. Oftentimes the feminine becomes very suppressed within us individually. So as we awaken to her, we can work with her in such a way that she's like our own personal goddess. So yes, there are goddesses of many traditions, but we each have our own, and we have this direct line to source and to the sacred feminine. So that's who she is to me. And since writing the book, I've been doing intuitive readings where I actually work with women's inner goddesses, and I get to see them and work with them. And each is very different. And each is so rich and full of so many different energies. They're not like a one or two dimensional stereotype. They're not like just abundance or just creativity. They're everything. And it's very cool to see.
That's so beautiful. Because this time, you know, well, when you go back for thousands of years, it was the goddess, the old goddess, religions, not so much religions, but nature worship, and the goddess was worshipped back then. You know, they found beautiful statues of women pregnant, and men used to just love the women, and it was just such a peaceful time. And then came in the god, you know, worshipping the male god. But now, and that's taken away all of the goddess. It took away the mother figure of the god, because God is mother and father, the great mother, the great father, the goddess and the god within us all, is it not? You know, so I think this time is really bringing that mother god back in, that goddess within, and awakening within us, each and every woman. It's just so beautiful that you said that. Now, have you got a copy of your book there so we can see the cover? Lovely. Read the whole title for us, Lauren.
Sure. It's Embody Your Inner Goddess, A Guided Journey to Radical Wholeness.
Beautiful. And that just really says it all because, we come from the oneness down into this world of duality, and we're always trying to find that wholeness, that masculine and feminine, the dark and the light, the dark goddess and the white goddess, to have that wholeness, aren't we?
Absolutely. There are so many different facets to this, to our souls and into this feminine energy as well. There's the light and the dark and everything in between. And there are so many facets to who we are as human beings. And I think when we deny or hide any one part of ourselves, it's almost like a piece of our soul gets broken off. And we might do this for protection. We might do this to adapt to our environment. There are so many different reasons, right, for this breaking of the soul. But when we're able to embrace all of these different parts of us, the light and the shadow, our creativity and our wisdom and our connection to the earth, like all these different aspects, we feel our wholeness. And it's a much calmer and more powerful way to walk this world.
That's so true. It's like we're calling back. We're calling back all those parts of us, of our soul that we gave away to people, places, things, situations, that took that away. And it's a bringing into wholeness again, isn't it? Calling back those things. And I think, nature and being with the mother really helps us. It's like the beginning of that calling back because she helps us call it. So please explain what radical wholeness is, because that's just beautiful, radical wholeness, and how we can mend the fragments of our soul, because that's what we're talking about, the ones that the parts of us that we gave away.
Yes. Yeah, to me, radical wholeness is authentic wholeness and it's a soulful wholeness. Many of us walk around feeling like there's some sort of hole inside of us. And there are so many promises out there of what might fill that hole and make us feel complete. It might be the next relationship. It might be a product to buy. It might be, I don't know, even things shifting like globally, like we're waiting for the awakening to feel whole. We don't have to wait for any of that. We are already whole. So radical wholeness is that realization that we are already whole. And the reason that we are is because we are divine. The divine lives within each of us. We may not always feel it or see it, but it is there, ready for us to awaken to it. And I think once we find that and accept our humanity alongside that, because we're not going to be perfect all the time. We're flawed. That's part of our beauty. Then we're able to step into this space of radical wholeness. I think it's radical too, because it's so real and it's so different than the facade that's sold to us of what I was speaking to. Like this next thing outside of yourself is going to make you whole. It's just simply not true.
That's so true.
It's inside all of us.
But everyone looks in the 3D, don't they? Oh, that's good. Nothing will fill you up. You get to a point where there's nothing in that outside 3D world that can fill you up. You have to go within. You have to find that divine light within, to it, within that multidimensional, beautiful place where you can go to fill that up with divine intelligence, and that's the mother. That's the goddess, that's the god, that's the god within all of us, isn't it?
It is. And I think we see this all the time with people who have attained so much worldly success and they're still not happy. They have absolutely everything that we come to know as complete or as successful to whole, and there's still something missing. And that starts them on their spiritual journey. You know, some of us start from a place of having nothing, and some of us start from a place of having everything, but we're still all seeking that same thing, which is this deep connection, wholeness, and fulfillment that is inherent to all of us. And I think the reason we're all looking for it is because it's our birthright.
That's right. It is. It's well, I'm, as a yogini, yeah, it's having that enlightenment, having that peace, making peace with your past, peace with yourself, so you can bring peace into the world. and having that, they call it, eventually it's enlightenment, isn't it? And not having to come back into the samsara, the wheel of birth, death, reincarnation again and get the soul trap, having being free to go off to unimaginable, beautiful, celestial, melodious, experiences that we can do now while in the body. We don't have to wait till we pass over to have that amazing experience, And I think understanding the inner goddess, this is the biggest awakening now that women are having, finding that divine feminine, that sacred feminine. It's just so beautiful. And please describe the sacred feminine. I mean, the sacred divine feminine is beautiful within, and it's nurturing intuitive energy, because how can we use that to understand who we are, understand our true self, understand and use our intuition?
Yeah, it's sort of both a simple and complex an answer. So I'll answer in a few different ways. The book and the way I like to work with this energy is through the chakra system. So there are different qualities of the sacred feminine within each of these energy centers. So I think of the root, and it's our connection to Mama Gaia, to Mother Earth, and that connection to nature. As you spoke to earlier, is such an important aspect of embracing, as of the world, I think embracing the sacred feminine is this remembrance and respect for our home, for the earth, for nature, and for feeling and seeing and knowing ourselves as an intrinsic part of nature as well, not something separate from it, not something that's meant to conquer it, something that's meant to live in harmony with all things around us. Not to tangent necessarily, but I think of some of the yogic teachings and how they are interpreted at times of this like complete non-attachment to material, right? But I think that as we actually embrace the material of what's around us and stop attaching to the conquering, stop attaching to our separation actually from it, then we start to live more in our dharma, more in harmony, more in freedom. So I think that's the more feminine yogini
Yes.
way
So do
of
I. So do I. It's almost like
yes.
surrendering. You're just surrendering. You're not getting in the
Absolutely.
way, because we get in the way, don't we? We're trying to control the outcomes, and we try and force a situation that which way we want it to go. But that's not when we're not in flow, then we're not surrendering. We're not surrendering to the goddess
Absolutely.
within, to which they are guiding us as much more, aren't they, than we could ever. So, and the intuition, how can we heighten our intuition, and what
Yes.
is our intuition, please? How you just describe it, how you feel it.
Absolutely. Our intuition is our inner compass. It's our inner guidance. It's our connection to our soul. And it's wise. She knows everything. Oftentimes, we talk about this living in the third eye. And I want to also say that the intuition lives all over the body. So this connection to the root, the connection to ourselves, our bodies, to nature is extremely important in order to connect to our intuition. Our bodies are so wise. And this modern world really disconnects us from our bodies. It disconnects women from their bodies. We're told that they're shameful. We're told like our sexuality is bad. We're told so many things that we don't look right. We need to look a certain way. We need to perform a certain way. When we embrace who we truly are, we get to connect again with Mother Earth, with nature, and to the wisdom that is available to us at all times within our own bodies. So I think of the body, like every part of the body holding wisdom. We can have conversations with every part of our body to learn what it knows. Beyond that, I do think of this kind of inner compass living within the area of the third eye. And the more masculine aspect of the third eye would be the logic. And there's nothing wrong with logic. We need that too, right? But there's no effort in the intuition, it's only listening. So, what that requires is truly like fleshing what might be stuck in our bodies and in our minds. So all the yogic practices are wonderful to do this, the meditation, the pranayama, even the asanas, to quiet and still the mind. In my experience, we all access the intuition in different ways. So the clair senses are what I'm speaking to. You can hear the intuition, you can see the intuition, you can just know, you might taste, you might smell. But we can't do any of those things when the mind is just full of the chittavritti, of the mind stuff, of the thoughts, of the memories, of the anxieties. So once we find, through many different methods, more of a sense of stillness within, we can see, hear, feel, know, taste, smell this voice, this gentleness, this loving part of ourselves that knows. And what I tell my clients or my students is this voice is, even if it's telling you something you don't want to hear, it's done in a calm and gentle way. So, yes, there might be instinctual parts of us that shout, like, oh, across the street, we don't want to get near this person for one reason or another. The intuition is calm. It's like, do you really want to marry this person? You know? Are we really going to go through with this? Like, let's think about this. Let's feel into it. Even when every other like part of ourselves might think that that's the right thing to do. And she connects us truly to the soul. She's a portal to the other side as well. While I think some people tend to be more sensitive and have easier access, I think we all have access to the intuition, to the
Definitely.
superpower, and it's one of our innate rights to
Of
have this
course.
access.
Of course. And that is like that's the two sides of ourself, isn't it, really? Hello, beautiful little
It's
girl.
my little unicorn.
Ah, she's lovely. And it is though, it's the ego, isn't it? And it's that inner voice. So you've got the ego self or you've got the true self. And this is our little constant battle that we're always having with that. So it's, ego, we have to have that because we live in the world of duality. And as you said, all the hardcore, rishis and yogis are sitting in a cave with nothing, but we're not like that. We have to be householder yoginis. So we have to embrace the 3D, embrace that and have that balance between the two parts of ourselves, bringing that into wholeness, and that's why it's so important. But if we can just realize that we are not our thoughts and feelings, we are the soul consciousness, we are the third eye that looks, we are the awareness that looks through the two eyes into the world. We are the observer, yeah? And therefore, we can use that ego as a tool, and use and then and diminish it somewhat when we quieten the mind so that we can listen to our true self, our true intuition, our divinity within. Because that is the truth, isn't it? That's the truth when we quieten it. Then that divine intelligence from our higher self, which is part of God, goddess, comes in.
Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, Our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my experience and what I recommend for most people is that, you know, you can't chase inspiration and you can't chase the intuition. It's something you relax into. So for me, say I'm getting into a more creative, inspirational space where I'm ready for some downloads. I can't force that to happen. I'm not going to get a whiteboard out and write everything down. A walk outside is going to do me a lot more good, or a shower, or just something that's going to relax my body and quiet my mind. So it's very practical, right? And maybe sitting in a dark cave and meditating will do it too. But I find like the interaction, even with my roles, is important. So we talk about in yoga, like, you know, I'm not a mom, I'm a soul. A mom is a role that I have right now, but I connect to source by connecting to my daughter. Yes. And connecting to the service of being a mother, of the roles of a householder.
Yes.
And I think like letting go of that separation is so powerful.
Yes, that's beautiful. I love that. And it's such an honorable thing to be a mother. I've got four, so I know what it is I do. Yeah. And how can women embrace the divine, their sacred feminine, and bring change and balance? You know, because we're all, and that soul purpose as well. You know, that's what your book was. It's got such practical tools, which is so important. So give us some of them tools, how we can bring change, and balance.
Yeah, in the book, it's written like a course. So you can do it over 7 weeks with a reading every day, with journaling reflections, and with some sort of physical practice to bring the different ideas into action, to bring them into the body. So you're right. There's a lot of different ways. For me, a lot of times it's the hardest ones that are most important. So it's looking, I'll say it's the hardest and the lightest that are most important. So it's really looking at parts of ourselves that maybe we've kept in the shadows for a while, shining light onto them and loving them. So the first day is called I Love My Body, and it's all about embracing the physical body. I know it's heavy. It was a very heavy subject for me for a long time, and still is at times. And it is for many people, especially many women out there, because there's so much messaging that our bodies are wrong. And we do an exercise through the reflections of really listing out all of the negative thoughts, all of the limiting beliefs that we hold about our own bodies, all of the things that we feel are wrong, all the things that we feel are bad. And next to that, we write down where these specific ideas came from. Like, where did you get this idea that cellulite is bad? Where did you get this idea that your face shape isn't right? Or, you know, so many different things that we can ruminate on. It never comes from us. It comes from something outside of us. It might come from media. It might come from our parents. It might come from a former lover. Like, you know, there are so many different different sources of this information that becomes our thoughts. So we're shining light on, okay, where does this come from? It's not coming from me. And then next to that, we write down an opposite and more true thought. So it's cellulite is normal. Every woman has it. Children have cellulite.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they love it. In France, they love it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. It's all completely relative. It depends where you're born, what time period you're in. Like, we know in the Western world, like, there are trending body types. Like, what the hell? What does that even mean? We just have the body we have. And so that would be an example of the type of reflection that we would do. And then, and some days it's more like questions that you answer. And then that day for the embodiment practice, we give ourselves a massage. We really intentionally do it with mantra. My body is mine. My body is sacred. My body is beautiful. As we do this self-massage to really like bring that into every cell, to really feel what that feels like. And it's okay too, if you don't totally believe those things yet, just by shining light on where it comes from and coming up with an opposite affirmation, that doesn't fix it immediately. It takes a lot of time and patience, and it's rewriting like new pathways in our brains and in our bodies to truly believe it. But that's shining light on something that probably feels really dark for a lot of people. And over time, it's really going to change things. And the more powerful we feel within our own bodies, the more powerful we can walk through this life.
Yes.
The more positive influence we can have with other people. It is very hard, I think, to feel so disconnected or even in hatred with our own bodies and truly be influential in this world.
No, you have
it
to.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's very important. The body is the first one. Well, in yoga, the asanas, the postures are the first things that you learn, and then you move into the pranayama, then you move into the meditation. But you've got to be okay and steady and true and you know, be in that place of self acceptance of the body that you have been given, first of all.
Absolutely.
It all stems from that.
Absolutely.
That self-love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I'll say on the other end of things, like really like honing in on what are my superpowers and like being our own biggest cheerleaders for those. I have a quiz on my website that helps lead people into this work, but it's what is your chakra superpower? So it's not looking at like where your deficiencies or weaknesses might lie. It's looking at like what is like so special about you and what is already shining. And I think honing in on that is really important too, because then we can lead from that space and really shine our lights.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Shine our light so others can see the way forward and shine too. That's the whole meaning. Yeah, that's beautiful. And how come embodiment? I love that word embodiment. You know, that's in your book. How can we use embodiment to transform, align our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual energies?
Yeah, I think that embodiment is truly about being in integrity, like mind, body, and spirit. They're all moving in the same direction. And so many of us are, like I said earlier, disconnected from our bodies. So when I think of embodiment or being embodied,
yeah,
I think of the example of an actor. The very best actors out there, you don't know they're acting because they are so in their character. Now, obviously, they're not acting as themselves, they're acting as somebody else. But when you think of embodying our inner goddess or embodying our highest selves, our truest selves, our souls, it is allowing our true selves to really fill every space of our body. And then it's just so apparent on the outside who we are. And there's nothing out of alignment there, body, mind, and spirit. It's all working in concert, in harmony with each other. And I think like we talk about embodiment in a lot of different ways. It's sort of a buzzword. But truly, it is all about integrity and deep connection with the body.
Embracing that within, embracing them parts of yourself, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we can intangibly feel too when somebody is really embodied. They feel good to be around and they feel authentic and truthful. I give an example of my book. There's a day that's about like integrity. And for a lot of years, I tried on the outside and on the inside in so many ways to embody non-harm, right? I was vegan. I was like giving to the homeless. I was kind and gentle with other people. But on my inside, I was directing all of the anger, all of the hatred, all of the harm inward to myself. And that's not an integrity. Exactly.
Self-sabotaging is the number one thing that women do. It's so bad. Mm-hmm. It's so bad because they internalize, because they're such givers. They give, give, give. And it's all they hold in, they repress. And then suddenly they've been living 20 years and they've held it all in. And then something just rips and they just go, yeah, because they can't take it anymore. It's just like the dark goddess has had enough. She cannot be repressed any longer. And she's speaking her truth. She's speaking her truth to her husband that's repressed her for all these years and not allowed her. She's speaking the truth to her children that, you know, who've walked all over. No, this is the time. It can't be contained anymore, mm-hmm. can it not?
Yes, yes. So as a counterexample for an embodied woman, what we would do is when that anger, when those feelings come up, we do not shy away from them.
No.
We feel them. We let them move through our body and we transmute them into sacred action. But we don't have, I know I didn't, many of us don't have like examples of that in our culture. And I think what you're speaking to is like the Karen, right? It's the person who's just had enough. And then all of that comes out, you know, it comes out in a way that's not helpful.
Exactly.
Right. Or productive.
Exactly.
But but an embodied woman, she feels it. She doesn't shy away from it. It might not feel good. Right. But we might dance it out. We might journal it out. We might have a good conversation with the girlfriend. Yeah, we might scream into a pillow. And then we have the space to connect with the soul, with the intuition, so that we know what to do with this energy.
It's so true. And I really believe the menstrual cycle, if women keep on, you know, repressing, then they take that energy. And if it's not transmuted into positive, you know, channels of releasing it, then that PMS state will be a very, very difficult PMS state. And if they carry on doing that when it comes to menopause and premenopausal, then it's, you know, all of that will just, it will be a very difficult 10-year transition, you know, because you're not putting it, releasing it into positive channels. You're not allowing it to release out, you know, so many times. And it's very difficult, especially for the older generation of women, I believe, because I think it's easier now because you've got so many younger women have got so many tools. We've got the internet, we've got so many things. But, you know, that repression, we were told not to cry, not to show our emotions, you know, not to speak up, not to speak our truth, you know, in relationships, we just had to take it. Yeah. And it's like, No more. And that's why I think this would come to this great awakening. This is a soul cry from all of them women and goddesses from the Inquisition. 9.5 million women being burnt at the stake. It's like come down through our DNA, through our lineage, through the karma of all the women that have lived before us. And it's come to us and we're like, no more. We are the zero point. We are going within, we're delving into the shadow. We are doing our inner work and we're not going to put this or channel this through to our children and our daughters' daughters. We are stopping it. Yeah. We are stopping it, so this work is the most powerful work that women can ever do.
I agree. And then for those of us who have the safety and the rights to do this work, it is absolutely our obligation and responsibility to do so, especially for the women in this world who do not have that. And we see women, like women in Iran, for instance.
I was just thinking about the women.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
You know, they don't have the safety, but we see them rebelling against it anyway. So
yes.
for them to put their lives in danger, you know, for this cause, it is absolutely our responsibility who are not in that danger to use our voices and to embrace the sacred feminine, all that comes with it, which includes the sacred rage, because that is going to create this change
exactly.
that is needed in the world.
Exactly. And it, as long as it's always done from the divine feminine, from the heart, not from the ego, you know, when it's done from there, from love, but it can be strong love. It can be tough love, because this is the world. There's evil stuff happening all around the world. And this is our time to speak up about this, to not be quiet, to not hold it back. When something is wrong and it goes against everything in your intuition, in your soul, you must speak up about it. You know, you must help other women as well. This is what we're in unity consciousness. We're in women collaboration. We're in love awareness time. You know, it's time for us to come together to help our sisters, you know, all around the world who are living in terrible situations.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you. And you know, how wonderful for us that we have these platforms and this ability to really speak our minds with, you know, is there a fear of being canceled at times? Yes, but it's not a fear of like being stoned to death or burned, you
oh
know.
My
it's
gosh.
different. That might live in our DNA still, that fear, but at right now, at this period of time in history and in the places we are, we don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
So
where other parts of the world, women, that is happening to women.
Yeah.
You know, it's awful. It's terrible. In the 21st century that this is just going on in these different countries. So this is the time. And it's not about, you know, feminism, femininity. It's not about being above men. You know, it's being, that's what's caused all the problem. You know, like some of these women, they become too masculinized and they fight for their right. And they become like a man. They're aggressive and they come from the toxic side of that of their masculinity within, which is no. We have to come from the heart. We have to do everything, you know, from that divine feminine, always from that love, always from that place. You know, that's how it's going to be, isn't it? We have to do that from the goddess, from the inner goddess. What would the goddess do?
Yeah. And I think of different goddesses for inspiration. You know, there's a time and a place for Kali, for sure, of like stamping out the ignorance and fighting the demons and drinking their blood. my podcast partner and I did an oracle reading for 2024. And what came out what we pulled was Artemis. And yes, she's a goddess of war, but she is directive, and she actually never shoots her arrow. She just uses it to focus her intention. And that's where I see us really channeling all of this energy into, as a very focused intention and a heart-led intention as well. But it's still focused AF, so that we can make some really positive and big change.
Exactly. And I really believe that's so important for us to do this, to do our inner work. You know, you heal the women, I believe, and we heal the world, because we're the ones who are bringing up the next generation. We're bringing up the divine feminine daughters and the divine masculine sons. Yeah. And it all comes from the way that we bring them up, and we pass down that lineage. Don't pass down the excess baggage and the darkness that was given to you from your mother and your grandmother, because they didn't have the tools or the inner work. They didn't know about how to deal with that, you know. So it was repressed and it was passed down, you know. It's ancestral lineage. That's why we have to take that responsibility, just like you said, responsibility to do it and be the zero point and not pass it on to our daughters or ourselves. So important. And then we're going to have awakened beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a quick awakening time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
I agree. It's the biggest and hardest job in the world, I think. And, you know, it just takes a tremendous amount of energy and space, I think, to be able to stop a pattern, to like feel the thoughts and the feelings coming in and then to react in a different way than what we're taught. And I thank my mom for giving me enough privilege and space and opportunity and exposure to change the patterns, right? Yeah. I spent the last week in the jungle of Costa Rica with 100 plus women.
Wow.
And children, and at a gathering. And it was so amazing to see all these little kids just, you know, running around naked in the jungle and connected to Mama Earth and being exposed to the dancing and the yoga and the singing and the authenticity. It's amazing to see and to know that they're going to grow up with that being totally normal for them.
Which it should instead be. Of having That's to like rewrite patterns. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way we should be living. And all children should be seeing that. That's true freedom. That's just beautiful, isn't it? That is so empowering. What an amazing experience.
It was.
It's so important. And so how can we heal the relationship, mind, body, and soul, to go to self-love and union with the divine, you know, within. Self-love is a big one. And we was talking about loving the body. I think that is such a pathway to self-love, but also forgiveness of ourselves. I'm not talking about forgiveness about it, forgiving anyone else, but forgiving ourselves of all the mistakes we made, forgiving ourselves of our self-sabotaging, because, you know, self-sabotage is the one thing that women, it stops our evolution. It stops us from going forward, you know, because we have, I've got to say this, we have been told that we are not divine. You know, God has been a male God. You know, only we can go through a male priest and the church to get to God. Yeah. And we've told that we are not divine, but everyone is divine. Everyone is divine. We're not worthless. We're not sinners. We are divine, having a human experience. So I think that self-love, tell us how you, you know, some tools to heal that self-love relationship.
Yeah. So I think about the chakras below the heart. So I'll just very briefly say, yes, it's connecting and loving on the body. Yes, it's embracing our emotions and our pleasure and our sensuality and our cycles. Yes, it's building confidence with our actions and what we do. And then we get to the heart. And yes, It's all about self-forgiveness. We do not have to abdicate forgiveness to anyone else. We do not have to go to a male figure outside of ourselves to receive forgiveness. We are divine. It's something we can grant to ourselves. And it's amazing. And I pose a lot of questions in this section of the book. It's like, I think a lot of times we give other people a lot more grace than we give ourselves, a lot more compassion than we give ourselves. So it's like, you know, can you forgive yourself because you didn't have the information that you needed at the time? Can you forgive yourself because you're doing the best you could at the time with what you had? You know, there's so many ways to tap into that compassion piece, and to forgive ourselves for not being perfect. We can't be perfect. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. And these mistakes are a vital part of our path because they reveal to us what we truly want. They reveal to us the ability to be compassionate. They reveal to us this power of forgiveness, and they're lessons, right? Mistakes are lessons. And I think if we don't take the time to forgive them or to find compassion for them, then we're not truly going to learn from our mistakes.
Exactly.
Right. So yes, this forgiveness is extremely important. And I'll also say tapping into what compassion truly is. And compassion is being able to embrace the light and the dark. It's being able to feel the love and the sadness, right? It's being able to truly put ourselves in other shoes, including past versions of ourselves. Yeah. So I think when we deny that those feelings that are uncomfortable, like sadness, we're denying ourselves this true, like fully formed compassion that we're able to give ourselves and others.
That's so true.
So yeah, it's a lot and small all over the world. You might have to order it online rather than walking into the store, but it is available.
Wonderful. And wow, Lauren, just such a beautiful interview with a beautiful divine feminine woman that you are. And, you know, it's so important for us to, you know, help and talk about this. And so that women understand that they do have this divinity, this other side to them that is sacred, that is pure. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your mistakes or whoever you are. Just sit and just quiet the mind and just be with that sacred feminine, you know, and call her in. She will come, the mother goddess, the mother side of God goddess. She will come into you, you know, and she will uplift you and she will ascend you. Will she not?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that invitation is really important, and then allowing yourself to receive.
Yes, because women are not very good receivers. They are good
not
givers.
Typically. Yes. Absolutely. Joanne, I want to thank you for having this podcast and for hosting conversations like this and for the shifts that they make in your listeners' lives, because they are important and it's such a way to continue to awaken us to this divine feminine energy.
It is. And I just want to say, Lauren, thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show with your beautiful daughter.